What we're going to talk about now is motions to suppress a statement on the grounds of involuntariness under the Due Process Clause. And I want to stress that what I'm talking about here is involuntariness under the Due Process Clause of either the federal or state constitution. Unless you're in the District of Columbia, which unjustly has been deprived of statehood and a state constitution, you've got a state constitution. And if you got a state constitution, you want to use it in order to argue that the state constitution provides greater protections, and that therefore there are greater protections under your state constitution's due process clause for suppressing statements as involuntary. So now, let me say some things about the grounds for moving to suppress a statement as involuntary under either the federal or state constitutional due process clause. This doctrine was the doctrine that really was the basis for all statement suppression motions before Miranda came along. And so we have a whole lot of case law from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and early 60s before Miranda came along, which created grounds for suppressing statements as involuntary. In those days, a number of statements were suppressed on the ground that the accused was a minor. So you had something like Haley v. Ohio, a U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1948, and Gallegos v. Colorado, a Supreme Court decision in 1962. And those treated the young age of the accused as essentially, in of itself, a reason for concluding that the statement could not have been voluntary. Well, that analysis no longer works because of a 1986 decision of the U.S. Supreme Court in a case called Colorado v. Connolly. What happened in Colorado v. Connolly was that the defendant, who was mentally ill, went into a police station and said that he was confessing to the crime because God had told him to confess. And in a decision authored by then Justice Rehnquist, the U.S. Supreme Court said that mental illness alone is not a ground for suppressing a statement as involuntary, even though as a matter of logic, we would think it couldn't possibly be voluntary if the man was mentally ill and was confessing because he thought that God had told him to confess. What the Supreme Court did in Connolly was it changed the rules and said that in order to suppress a statement as involuntary, there must be police coercion. The police must have done something to coerce the statement. And because the court concluded that in Connolly there was no coercion other than by God, and the court said that God is not part of the police force, the court refused to suppress the statement as involuntary. Now, the good news about Connolly, although it's just minor good news, is that the court did acknowledge that a suspect's characteristics that make the suspect more vulnerable to coercion can be factored into the equation and can result in suppression of a statement as involuntary because the coercion had a greater effect given the inherent vulnerability of the suspect. And that would be true, for example, with someone who is mentally ill or mentally retarded or, as is relevant for our purposes, a minor. So coming out of Colorado v. Connolly, it was apparent that if the suspect was a minor, that could result in suppression of a confession for coercion, which might leave an adult unfazed. All right, to the extent that that was unclear, it was definitively established in 2004 in Yarbrough versus Alvarado, a U.S. Supreme Court decision. And in Yarbrough versus Alvarado, which we'll talk about some more when we talk about Miranda, the U.S. Supreme Court said, reiterating its earlier analysis in Connolly, it said that a minor status as a youth can make a suspect more vulnerable and that should be factored into the assessment of whether or not a statement was involuntary under the Due Process Clause and whether or not the police coercion was sufficient to coerce the statement. And they also said that a minor's lack of prior experience with the criminal justice system is another factor that can be considered, and also that the minor's degree of how far they had gotten in school is yet another factor. So all these factors are considerations, but they have to be combined with some kind of police coercion. So what kind of coercion might be considered? Well, of course, force, threats of force, also holding someone incommunicado. And that is, of course, a very big factor when we're talking about a youth who's being held by the police in an interrogation room separate from his or her parent. And so that can be considered to be coercion, especially if it goes on for a prolonged period of time. Another factor would be promises that the police make, for example, a promise of probation if the youth confesses to the crime. Tricks, for example, if the police say that someone else who is a friend of the kid or the parent of the kid or a brother or sister could get in trouble if the kid doesn't confess. All of these things are coercion. Now, you can combine this with not only the kid's youth, but also the other factors I mentioned, mental illness, emotional disturbance, all these things. And oftentimes, the clients we represent will have a number of these problems because these are the problems that brought them into the criminal justice system. So the argument you'll make is that a statement was involuntary under the Due Process Clause because you had a kid who was a young age, below 18 counts, but the younger it is, the more powerful it'll be, and was emotionally disturbed or possibly mentally retarded, possibly mentally ill, and or is having problems in school, and that all of these factors together made the kid so vulnerable to coercion that whatever it was that the police did, whether it was keeping the kid incommunicado, using psychological tricks, making promises, that all of that overbore the will of the kid and thereby rendered the statement involuntary. Now, if this works, it is the best possible ground for suppressing a statement. And the reason is that if you suppress a statement as involuntary, it will mean that the statement cannot be used for any purpose at trial. Now, what I mean by that is that under a case called Harris v. New York, if a statement is suppressed on Miranda grounds, then even though it has been suppressed, it can be used to impeach the defendant or respondent. In contrast, under Mincy v. Arizona, U.S. Supreme Court decision, if the statement is suppressed on involuntariness grounds, it cannot be used for any purpose at trial, including impeachment of the accused, if the accused testifies contrary to the statement. And the reason is that the statement is regarded to be untrustworthy. It is regarded to be a statement that we cannot regard as truthful rather than false, precisely because it has been found to be coerced. So this is the claim you want to make if you possibly can. And what you want to do is combine this with a Miranda claim, if you have it, and a claim of violation of the right to counsel and a statutory claim. You want to have all of them in your suppression motion. But if you can win on this one, this is the one you want to win.